begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin daf Ayin Aleph. Begin on the top line of the Yomud, but the Gemara continues by concluding the previous Mishnah, which said, Einan Nasa Ben Sarim Meir, this man does not become Ben Sarim Meir, at Sheyechol Basav Yishtayin, again, until he eats meat and drinks wine. That's the basic criteria. Now, Tanabon, in the Braisa that repeats what the Mishnah said and elaborates a little bit more, we learn Tanabon, in the Braisa, Achol Kol Maicha B'Lo Achol Basav. If he eats any type of food, but if it's not, doesn't eat meat, or Shasa Kol Mashka B'Lo Shasa Yain, drinks any type of beverage but does not drink wine, Einan Nasa Ben Sarim Meir, he does not become a Ben Sarim Meir. Until he eats meat and drinks wine, shenem, like it says the pasuk in the Devarim, zaylul b'savi, that he's a glutton and a guzzler, which even though it's not a proof that it means meat and wine, but there is some type of an allusion to that. Shenem, like it says the pasuk in Mishlei, it says alti b'savoi yain, do not be from those who guzzle wine, b'zaylul b'savi, that for them they are gluttons for meat, which we see that savi refers to yain and zayl refers to basar. Now, Va'omer, it says, after that pasuk, and that's actually why the Bryce is bringing it over here, Ki seiviv v'zeil yivarish, because someone that's a seiviv v'zeil is ultimately going to become poor, because he's going to need his fix, and he's not going to find it. And v'kraim talbish numa, and moreover, this slumber, which a person gets dragged into, will end up making him wear torn garments. In other words, anyone that indulges himself too much in physical pleasures will come to poverty. Amr B'Zeri gives a different interpretation in that pasuk. Kala yashin beveis ha-medrash, whoever sleeps in the beis ha-medrash, tayrasay nasle krem, his taira, learning, becomes torn into pieces, meaning he forgets his learning and he only remembers it like piece by piece by piece, which is not a whole one unit. Shlomo HaMelech says in the pasuk, b'kroyim tal b'shnuma, the one who slumbers will wear those things which are torn. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on qualifying the parameters of the Ben Sarim Meir. So the Mishnah tells us, if Ganav Mishalav, if he stole the money from his father, which as we taught previously, that it has to be that he stole the money to buy the food, not that he stole the food itself. So if he stole the money from his father, V'achol B'shusav, and eats, however, in his father's house. Or, Mishalachem V'achol B'shusachem, if he stole from other people, and he ate it in other people's domain. Meaning, even if he didn't eat it in the home of the person that he stole, still the Gemara will explain, these do not qualify for the Halacha Ben Sarim Meir. Or let's say, Mishal Acherim V'achol B'shusav, he steals from others and he eats in his father's house. In all these three categories, Einan Nasa Ben Sarim Meir, he does not become Ben Sarim Meir. And until Sheyignim Mishalav, he has to steal the money from his father, V'yichol B'shusachem, and he eats it in someone else's house in somewhere in some other domain. He adds on, until he steals from his father and his mother. So the Gemara explains the halacha of our Mishnah. If he steals from his father and eats it in his father's house, well, even though the money is available for him, he finds his father's wallet, he sees money lying around the house, so it's available. And again, the whole concept we mentioned of Ben Sarim Meir is that it's mamshech. There's a very convenient lifestyle that, based on logistics, is going to continue and go there. So though there's availability factor, but bias, he's afraid of his father shouldn't realize what's going on, and therefore that fear factor will actually stop him from continuing indefinitely this course, this path, and therefore it's not going to make him a Ben Sarim Meir. Let's say he steals from other people, and he eats in other people's domains. Even though he's not afraid because his father's not seeing him, it's from some other people, but the money's not going to be so available because it's not like his parents' home that he's around and he could do things. What are you doing in our house? You know, you're suspicious. For Koshkin, for sure, the third case of the Mishnah, if he steals from other people and he eats it back home, to where A, the money's not so available, and Uvais, he's afraid because his father's going to wonder, hey, where'd you get that stuff from? And his father's going to be down his back. The only way where it's going to be mamshech, where there's definitely reinforces that this behavior should continue, is if he steals from his father and he eats elsewhere. Where then it's available for him to constantly be stealing because he could take from his parents, and also where he's going to eat in other people's domains, where v'loy bayis. So therefore he's not going to be afraid because his father's not going to see him. That type of a combination is something which has reinforces to continue, which is the reason why we execute the Ben Sarim Meir already at this point in time. Now, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yusuf Yehuda Aimer, he says, "Achigdim mishal aviv u'mishal imay," until he steals from his father and his mother. So ask the Gemara, "Imay menole," well, where does the mother have any money? Because Masha Kansi Isha Kandabaila, we know the halacha is that whatever a woman acquires, it automatically gets acquired by her husband. So how could he steal from his mother? Yeah, it's both the parents coming and saying, well, our son is not listening to us. How could he steal from his mother if his mother doesn't own anything? So Amr B'Yisr Rechanini explains, Misuda Hamuchenis La'avalima. We're talking about a meal that was prepared for both the father and the mother. And he steals and grabs, so then it's stealing from both of them. Now that has to come up, but Amr B'Chanan Bar Amr Rav Huna, as we could quote in previous daf, in a chayiv, the Bensari Mer is not liable at Sheyikne Basr B'Zel B'Yichl until he acquires, has to be the one who buys this meat at a cheap price and eats it. And Yain B'Zel B'Yishta, he has to steal the money and buy the wine for a cheap price and then drink it. But if he steals the meat and the wine itself, then not. So how could you say the case is talking that he stole from the meal that was prepared for his parents? Elaim rather says the Gemara, no, what we're saying is, there was certain money that was set aside, parents are going out to eat. And there's money that was prepared for that meal, and then he steals from that money. Since that money was prepared for both the father and the mother, we consider that from the mother's money too. Because that money, according to halacha, applies to her because the husband is obligated to provide sustenance for the wife. So that money which was set aside is already hers in regards to what the meal she was going to eat. And therefore, when the son steals from that money, that's stealing from both the father and the mother. Or if you want, you could say, is the akne la'achar. It's talking where someone else acquires money to the wife, and he tells her, I'm giving you this money on condition that your husband does not have any rights to it. Where if he wouldn't say that, then automatically the husband would acquire it because it's not any better than when she finds something which automatically goes to her husband. In this case, where he clearly stipulated this third party, I'm giving this to you, this woman, on condition your husband doesn't have it, then she acquires it and not her husband. That would be the case if the son stole from both the father and the mother, that he would become, according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, a ben Sayyar. Continues the next Mishnah. Hayavav Reitzif, the father wanted to go ahead and prosecute the child as a Ben Sarimar, but Ve'ima Eina Reitzif, the mother does not want to. Or Avav Eina Reitzif, Ve'ima Reitzif, or the father didn't want to and the mother wanted to. Says the Mishnah, Eina Nasa Ben Sarimar, he does not become the Ben Sarimar to be prosecuted, at Sheyush Neim Reitzif until they both want. Rabbi Hudaim, he says, Im Lehoisi Ima Ru'i La'avav, if the mother was not appropriate fit for the father, Eina Nasa Ben Sarimar, then the child does not become a Ben Sarimar. So ask the Gemara, my inner root, what does it mean if the mother is not fit for the father? Ile mechiva krisis, if you would think to say, means to say that the mother was punishable by the death of Karis, by having this marital relationship with her husband. For example, let's say he married his sister, where there's no kedushin over there. Or vechiva mises bezin, or where there would be punishable by death, by the courts, regarding this marriage, and she's not fit to him, and if they have a child through, let's say, that incestual relationship, the child cannot become Ben Sarimar. And that has to Gemara why. Saif, Saif, at the end, Avu, Avu, Ninu, his father's his father, Ve'ime, Imi, Ninu, and his mother's his mother. The Pasuk doesn't mention anything that regarding his parents that they're married. It's just if he disregards what his father and his mother is telling him, and this is his father and his mother, so why should that not make him viable to be Ben Sarimar? So Ella rather says to Gemara, what does it mean that if his mother was not row to his father, Bishavala of Kama? We mean to say that if she wasn't a fit, meaning that she was not the same as the father, regards to their voice and their appearance and their height, as the Gemara will shortly explain the reason with that. As the Gemara says, Tanna Hamoche, similar in the Braisa, this was the interpretation. Behuda, I mean, he says, Im lo hoisi imay shavel aviv, if his mother was not the same as his father, bekoil in their voice, in their tone, their voice, uvamara in their appearance, uvakoim in their height, and then also ben sarimar, so then the child does not become ben sarimar. Ask the Gemara, my time, what's the reason for that? Because the Amakar, the Pasuk says, the parents say to the court, Einenu shemei bekelein, who does not listen to our voice, which sounds like one singular voice. It doesn't say, Bekoilo yiseinu in our voices, or Bekoilenu with a yud, which would sound plural. Bekoilenu is a singular of our voice, which is a shared singularity. So, Medekoil be'in shavin, from the fact that their voice has to be the same. So, Mar Bekoim and Nam be'in shavin, so also their height and their appearance also has to be the same. And that's what the Mishnah means to say from Rabbi Yehuda, that if his mother was not the same row for the father, then the son does not become Ben Sarimar. So the Gemara explains, Kamanaz Lahodatani. So who's the following Brisa going like that says, Ben Sarimar, this halacha of the wayward and rebellious child that he gets executed, Lahoya Vele Asalias, never was, never will be. So why does the Torah write about it? Is Darish Vekibbutzchar, is to expound and receive reward regarding its halacha, but in practicality, it's never going to happen and never did happen. Come on, who's that like? So the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, it's like Rabbi Yehuda. Because his halacha was that the mother has to look like the father, sound like the father, and the same height as the father. Well, that never was and never will be, and therefore it's like Rabbi Yehuda. Or if you want, you could say Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Shimon, the time that he learned the Braisa, so Rabbi Shimon, he says, because this boy ate a tartima of basar, and he drank a half a log of the Italian wine. You think any parent would take their child out to be stoned because he ate a little too much or drank a little too much? Rather, this brice would be going like Shimon, that it never was and never will be. Why was it written? Just to expound and receive reward regarding the concepts that are learned out from this parasha, but it never was. No parent would ever do that to execute their son because he ate a little too much meat or drank too much wine. However, Amar Rienis, and he disagrees. He says, Ani Re'isiv, I saw it. V'yashavti al kivin, I actually sat on his grave regarding the Ben Sari Mer that was stoned because of his parents bringing him to the court. A similar discussion. The Gemara says, "Kaman nazla haditanya." Who is the following brisa like that says, "Irani dachas," the subverted city, which is when the majority of the inhabitants do have a desert because they were incited by others, then the whole city has to be killed out by the sword. Says the brisa, "Lahoisav lo asidalias." Never was, never will be. But lama nechtabes. So why is the Torah mentioned this halacha? Is darsh rekibos charis to expound it and receive reward? There are things to be learned from it, but in practicality, never was, never will be. Kaman, who is that like? Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanakh Lina Braiser Beliezer, I mean, he says, call Ir Shishba fill a mezuzah achas, every city that has even one mezuzah, and for sure if it has a chumash or has a one of the Sifri Nevi'im where the name of Hashem is written over there, that ain't a nasis or nidachas, the city does not become Ir Nidachas, which is highly unlikely that a whole Jewish city should not have one mezuzah or one sefer that has Hashem's name. Now my time, what's the reason that would disqualify from being Ir Nidachas? Because Amakar, the Pasuk says in the Varim, there's kol shalalatik, but regarding the Eir Nidachas, that all its booty should be gathered together, el teich rechav, into the city square, v'saraf t'beishnem, to burn everything from the city in the fire. Now, v'kimen deke mezuzah, but since there's a mezuzah lo yafshir, you can't take everything from the city and burn it, because the Chsiv, the Pasuk says in the Varim, le'isasun kein l'ashem l'keichem, after it says that you should destroy the names of the gods that you're going to take over from the land of Canaan, it says, don't do that to Hashem, your God, which is you're not allowed to burn Hashem's name. And therefore, that disqualifies the city from being Eir Nidachas if there's a mezuzah or any sefer, and therefore, that is something that never was and never will be for a whole Jewish city to have that. Again, here, on Rabbi Yenis, and he says that no, it's actually Ani Re'asiyah, that it actually did happen. I saw the Eir Nidachas. V'yashavti al tilin, I actually sat on its ruins. Similarly, the Gemara brings another discussion. Kaman Azlo Hadetani, who's the following Braisa going like when it says, Beis HaManuga, a house that has a nega of tzaras in it, which is a parasha in the Torah that talks about its halachas, lo haya v'lo asalis, never was, never will be. So, why was it written? Darsh rekibos char, that one should expound and receive reward. Kaman, who is that like? Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah that says, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, he says, lo oilam ein abayis tamim. And this is a Mishnah, Masechtas Negayim, that a house is never tamim, meaning it does not have the halacha of tuma from a nega of tzaras, until you have the two bean sizes, which a gris is the measurement of a nega, until you have two of these bean sizes of a tzaras on two stones. Whereas, as the Pasuk says in Meyukir Yadal, it says, that you have to take away the stones that have the nega on them, which sounds like two. And each one has to have a measurement of a nega, which is the size of, each one is the size of a bean, which is together two beans, which that's the size, the measurement of the tzaras. And this has to be b'shtei kesalim b'keren zavos, on two walls, meaning by the corner. So those two stones have to join together by the corner, one on this wall and one on the perpendicular wall. And the nega has to be contiguous from the two walls. And arkei k'shnei grisin, its length has to be two gris long. V'rechavei k'gris, and its width has to be like a gris. Where then, by that combination, you have each stone will have a gris by a gris, which then together makes the length of two and the width of one. And that's again something that's highly unlikely, which he says never was, never will be. Says Gemara, my time in Rabbi Elazar b'Shem, what's his reason that he says it has to be specifically on a corner? It's because Ksiv, on the one end, is a pasuk that says the term kir, where it says umarei and shafel min akir, that the appearance of the nega is deeper, more shallow than the wall. So it says in the singular. Now Ksiv, but then there's another pasuk that says ki rois, the walls. So ezehu kir shehu kikir, is when do you have a wall that's like two walls? That's a corner. A corner is one spot, which is one wall, which is like two walls. And again, that's something that's unlikely. However, here also says the Gemara Tanya in the Braisa that those who disagree and says no, that it did happen. Amr Blazer ben Tzadik, he says Mokum Hoyu b'tchum Aza, there was an area in the boundary of Gaza of Aza. They called it the ruins of the Mitzayra, because the Mitzayra is called Segirta because it gets interred, it gets locked up, which is the Yimei Hezger, where that's where they destroyed a house that had a neger. That's what they call that area, the destruction of the house of the Mitzayra. And so to Omer B'Shimon, Ishkva Akoy, the man from a village of Akoy, he says, Pamachas halachti leGalil, once I went to the Galil. V'risi mokum shemitzayin, I saw a place that they put a notice over there that one should not lean over that area because a stone that has a neg on it transmits tumah of hoy oil, which is either being under it or leaning over it. And the reason for that is because a mitzayir is compared to halachas of a mess, which transmit tumah and oil. As the pasuk says, when Miriam had tsaras, it says they davened for her al nasi kemes, let her not be like a corpse, which is that tsaras nega is like mess. V'amr, they said because avanim menugayis pinul l'sham, they actually cleared away all the stones that had negayim from houses, and they cleared it over here. Therefore, don't lean over here because one would get the tumah of oil over here. You see that actually that this did happen. Halacha of a bias that has a nega. Continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnayos of this parak, so regarding the parents of the Ben Sarim Meir, where we said before they have to both agree to make him and bring him to the court, so to Haya Echad Mehem Gidim, if any of the parents had their hand cut off that was missing, a chigur or was lame regarding the feet, a ilam or mute, a suma or blind, a cherish or deaf, in the Nasa Ben Sarim Meir, the child cannot become a Ben Sarim Meir. Why? Shneim, the pasuk says in the Devarim, that his father and his mother grab a hold of him, which tells us the Vilegi Dhamma, not if they're missing a hand, they can't grab a hold of him then. And it says, Vahitziyoi, so they take him out, which tells us the Vilegi Gar, not lame, where they can't go ahead and walk him out, because the lame person can't walk. Vahamur, and they say, Vilegi Laman, which is not by a mute person who can't talk. And they say, Benein Rezeh, this is our son, which sounds like that they see him, which tells us the Vilegi Suman, not if they're blind. And they say, Einenu Shemei Beklein, is not listening to our voice, teaches us Vilegi Rashan, that it would not apply if they're deaf. Why not? Because if they're deaf, they don't know if their son was receptive to what they said or not. Because if he tells them, I'm not receiving, I'm not accepting what you tell me, your rebuke, so that's a case of he's rejecting it. He's not listening to our voice. But in this situation where they don't hear him, even though they ultimately see that he's not listening to what they said, but they don't know to be able to say that Einenu Shemei Beklein, he never listened to us. Because you could say that at the time when they spoke, he did listen. Maybe only later on he decided, it's too much, and he gave up. But since, as we see in the Gemara, that these are extra words at which we would darshan, we could interpret it more liberally and say, you could only say an Enishma B'Klein if you know at the moment that you said he didn't listen. But when the parents are deaf, they don't know, because he can't tell them back, they can't listen, they can't hear what he says, when he says, well, you know, I'll think about it, maybe he said. And then 5 minutes later, he didn't listen, but then that wouldn't be considered an Enishma. Therefore, that excludes if the parents are deaf. Continues the mission, the master and Bible from the Shalesha, they warn them in front of three people. Umalkanai say, and they would give him lashes. Now, this warning was not because of what's known in halacha generally as hasra, that like other sins which you cannot give lashes until before the person was warned, because by those types of warnings you need witnesses, and here the parents are not valid witnesses. Moreover, hasra only works when there's a definitive knowledge that the person's about to commit that sin. Here, it's a doubtful warning if he's going to violate or not, because he doesn't go ahead and do what they warned him right now on the spot, rather he does later on in private. Rather, it's just that they're rebuking him because, like the pasuk said, v'yisroi, so they have to rebuke him that he should not go and continue to do these negative behaviors. And if he doesn't listen, then they give him lashes in the court, which we learn now from the pasuk of v'yisroi, so it's not because they warn him and the lashes come from as if it's a generic hasra regarding regular averis. Continues the Mishnah, chazer v'kilkel, if even after they warned him and he gets punished by getting lashes, he continues in his negative behaviors, needs him esem eshleisha, then he gets judged by a court of Sanhedrin Ketana of 23 judges. And however, ve'ina niskel, but he does not get ultimately stoned, at sheyir sham shleisha rishonim, until the original three judges who were there when they were giving lashes, which was an earlier stage, only if they're present in the new court of 23 to execute him. Shnema, because like the pasuk says, they say, B'nei Nuzet, this is our son, which means, wondering if this is our son. Zehu shalak b'fnechem, this is the one who you had given lashes a few weeks ago. And here he's back again. Again, he's not listening. Again, he's making trouble. Then they have to be on that court who knew that and were part of that and now are part in executing it. Now, says the Gemara, Shamet Mina, seemingly what we can infer from all the drashas of our Mishnah, which took one pasuk and took apart every single word, reading it literally to exclude all these other halachas, that be'ina krok k'dechsev, that you need a pasuk exactly as it's written, which supports the halacha of Shmuel, said previously in the Memheim Abeis, Perk Nigmar Din, that it has to be able to read the pasuk literally. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a proof to Shmuel. Because actually, Shani Hacha, here, this halacha of our Mishnah is different as we continue to Mabez, because the Kuli Kro Yaseiru, the whole pasuk is superfluous, because it could have just said, you take him out to the gate of the city and you stone him. Why does it say, the parents come, they say, and they grab hold of him, and all those words, they're superfluous, and therefore we darshan every single word. But a regular generic pasuk, we wouldn't say it has to be necessarily kedachsiv. Now the Mishnah said, "Umasim b'fnei shleisha," that they warned him in front of three people. Asked the Gemara, "Lamali, why do you need three? Betray sagir. All you need to have is two witnesses who were there, who saw, and were present, and could testify later that yes, they had warned him, and therefore now he's deserving of lashes. Why do you have to warn him in front of three?" So Mabai says, "No, you're right. Hachakam. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Masrin by b'fnei shnayim. The warning that they do, the parents warn the child, is in front of two witnesses. Because again, like we said, you need to have witnesses to testify that he was warned and he still violated because the parents are not eligible to testify, to have him executed, like the pasuk said in Devarim Yedzayin, Al pishnayim eidim yumasameis. A person could only be killed based on the testimony of two witnesses and the relative parents are not eligible witnesses. And then, however, the lashes happen in front of three judges. In other words, they then bring him in front of three judges, and the judges make him liable for lashes, and the Shliach Besen gives him lashes like all other people that get lashes, which are in front of three, as the Gemara said in the first paragraph of Yoram and Aleph, the lashes have to be given over in front of three judges. Now, ask the Gemara, Malkus b'ben Sarim Mar Hechik Seva, where does it say in the Torah that a ben Sarim Mar, we know that it says it gets skila, where does it talk about in this earlier stage that it gets lashes? So the Gemara, could Revo, like Revo teaches himself the Ksubas of Memvav Mar Aleph regarding the Maitzi Shemra. The Maitzi Shemra was the one who, after the morning after the first night of marriage, he comes and he says, well, she wasn't the Besula, and it turns out that he was lying. Actually, she was a Besula. Now, where do we know that he gets lashes? It's because the pasuk says, "V'lokhu zikne ha'ira se'ish," the elders of the city take out the man, and they give him yisurin. Now, but where do you know that that means to say that he gets lashes? So the Amr Bevo said, because lamanu v'yisru, we learn when it says by the parasha Meitzi Shemra v'yisru that they give him yisurim, they afflict him, mi v'yisru, from the v'yisru that it says by the Ben Sarim Meir, where there it also says v'yisru. Now, and that v'yisru is learnt out mi ben, meaning the word v'yisru says by the Ben Sarim Meir. It also says the word ben by the parasha Ben Sarim Meir. So we learn out that that's being learnt out mi uben. Now that it says by Meitzah Shemra, it says v'yisru. So we can learn out from the word v'yisru, it says ben Sarim Meir. Now, but ben Sarim Meir, we can learn from somewhere else. How so? Because by ben Sarim Meir, it says the word ben also. Now, then uben. Then you have the ben from ben Sarim Meir that we learn out mi ben from the ben that it says in Sefer Devarim in a different context, says v'hoyim ben ha'kaisa rasha, that if that individual is going to be someone that's wicked, that's going to get lashes, there it talks about lashes. So there it says the term ben Sarim Meir says ben, so you can learn out ben Sarim Meir from there. Now so too ben Sarim Meir also says v'yisru, so you can learn out mitzi shemra from the halacha ben Sarim Meir that there also v'yisru means lashes. But in that rasha is implicit that also Ben Seymer, which is learnt out from Ben the Kaiser Rasha, also gets lashes. And when is that? That we explain. First they warn him lashes, and then he does it again, then they get stoned. Now Mishnah said, Chazer b'kilkel, if he goes and he does bad again, Nidin b'chav gimel, he gets judged by a court of 23 judges, and one of the halachas we said, well, it has to be the original three that had given him lashes, because it says b'neinu zeh. That this is our son. What do you mean, this is our son? This is the one you know. You've already seen this guy being delinquent. And now you're part of the court again. Ask the Gemara, behind me, b'ayle. But that zeh we need for the other drush we mentioned in the Mishnah, which says, b'neinu zeh, this is our son, b'lei suman. And not if they're blind, because if they're blind, they can't say this. Says the Gemara, im kain, if it was only coming to tell us this halacha itself and not to exclude suman, then lichta b'neinu hu. Then they should have said that this is our son, the Ben Sarimar, which sounds like, what do you mean, who? This is the one. This is the one that had lashes in front of you a few weeks ago. But I could have said, who? My Beneinu Zeh. Why does it have to say specifically this, which sounds like that they're pointing with the finger? Is to tell you, because if they're blind, who? You could say, even if they're blind, you could say that this is that son. What do you mean, this is that son? Oh, the son that you'd given lashes to. Why say this? This is like pointing. Shaminatarti, you learn from the two things. One, the halacha, that from the 23 judges, the three of them have to be from the original ones of the lashes, and also that their parents cannot be blind. Continues the Mishnah. Baruch atchali nigmar dinai. If let's say the child fled before the verdict was handed down that, yeah, he's a ben samar, he's going to be executed. And then afterwards, before he was captured again, he had the statute of limitations ran out for the area of Ben Sarimur, because he already had encircled the pubic here around his aver, which that's the limitation we learned in the previous Mishnah of being Ben Sarimur. So then Pater. So then he's exempt. We're not going to judge him anymore. Because even if he would do those acts of Ben Sarimur right now, he would not be liable for the death penalty, because he's already beyond the maximum of the age of Ben Sarimur. But says the Mishnah, but if let's say he fled after the verdict was already handed down, where at that point in time he's already like what's called a dead man, because the verdict was handed down, he just had to be executed, and now we don't look anymore for his merits and to save him. And then while he was a fugitive, and then he filled in the pubic here, well then Chayiv is still going to be liable, because he was already a dead man, his verdict was already handed down. We don't care, even if we would do it now, that he wouldn't be Chayiv, he's still going to be Chayiv. The Gemara brings a halacha that relates back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Amar B'chanina. It says, Ben Noyach, a non-Jew, Sheberich as Hashem, that blasphemes, that curses God, V'achkach Nesgar, and then he converts. Pater, he's exempt from the death penalty of someone who's Mevarich as Hashem. Why? Says B'chanina, Hoyel V'nishtan Adinoi, since his judgment changes. Why? Originally, as a Ben Noyach, the halacha, as we said in the earlier Mishnah, that he gets judged with one witness, one judge, doesn't need any warning, whereas if he would do it now as a Jew, which he converted to, he would need a warning. He would need a Sanhedrin of 23 judges, and would require witnesses. So since his judgment changed, and v'nishtana misase, and his death penalty changes, because any sin that a non-Jew does gets killed by the sword, by being beheaded. Whereas if he do it now as a Jew, being mevarch Hashem chas Hashem, then his judgment would be with skila, and that he was never liable for the act that he'd done, which was when he was a non-Jew. And therefore it's going to be pater. Because now as a Jew, he doesn't have those liabilities which he had when he was a non-Jew. Says the Gemara, name him Sayeli. Should we say that we could support Reb Chanina from our Mishnah? Our Mishnah opened up by saying, Baruch Atchal Enigmar Dinai, if this Ben Sarimar fled as a fugitive before the verdict was handed down, and then while the fugitive, he filled in he got all the pubic here, Pater, we said he's exempt. Now, my time, why is he exempt? What do you mean? He still did the crimes that's what are Ben Sarimur crimes, which are liable for death penalty. La Mishum, isn't it because they're meaning Hoyel V'shtani Yishtani? Since we say, since he changed, he's no more that age group of the Ben Sarimur, so his judgment changes, and therefore he's not going to be Chayv Misa anymore. Says Gemara, no, you know, you can't bring a Raya from there. Kashani Hacha here in our Mishnah of Ben Sarimur is different. The E of it Hashtag, because if he would do those things like eating that, stealing the money, eating the meat, all those things, and drinking the wine, La Barkatalahu. At this point in time, he's not someone that could be executed for doing those things. He's already passed that age limitation. In contrast, over here, regarding the Ben Noyach, if he would do what he did then right now, which is being Mevarech Hashem, he would be executed. So though his judgment changes and his death penalty changes, but he wouldn't be exempt. And therefore, we would judge him based on the liabilities that there are right now as a Jew, and we would give him those executions, but we would not exempt him. But there's no raya for Reb Chanina who says that actually the Ben Noyach is totally exempt once he converted. So the Gemara actually says, Toshima, let's bring a raya from the next halacha of our Mishnah that actually should refute Reb Chanina. Because the Mishnah said, but if he fled after the verdict was already handed down, and then while a fugitive, he then had all the hair in the pubic area filled in, as encircling like a crown, then he's going to be chayiv. So you see that even though his status changed, but he does not become exempt from that, and he's still liable, which refutes Reb Chanina, who says that if the status changes, then you're exempt. Says the Gemara, no, Nigmar Dina Ka'amrit, you're going to ask from the halacha of when the verdict was already passed? Nigmar Dina, once the verdict was already handed down, Gavra Katelo, he's a dead man. He's done. It doesn't make a difference what changed. We just have to actually go ahead and execute him. But that wouldn't change once the status changes. It only changes if there wasn't the Gemara Din yet, then that's where Reb Chanin's halacha would apply. And therefore, it does not contradict him. So the Gemara says, Tashem, it's being arrived in the following brisa. It says, Ben Noyach Shehik Es Chaberi. Regarding a non-Jew that hit his friend, meaning he killed him, which then the death penalty for a non-Jew, for any sin that he does, is he gets beheaded. Or ubal eshes chaver, or he has relations with his friend's wife. V'niskar, and then he converts. Says the Braisa Pater. So then he's exempt, because had he done those acts right now, that would not be liable for execution, by killing a non-Jew or having relations with a non-Jew's wife. But if let's say Asakain, he did those acts while he was a non-Jew, be Israel, in other words, if he killed a Jewish man, or he had relations with a Jewish man's wife, and then Beneskar, and then he converted, then Chayiv, then he's actually liable, because if he would do those same acts right now as a Jew, he would be liable for the death penalty. So although his judgment changed, which is, now as a Jew, he requires people trying to protect him, which is the 10 people of the 23 courts, you need witnesses, you need warning, if he would do it right now. So therefore, he's going to be chayiv, even though his status changed. Ask him, Vamai, but why? Karnd Reb Chanina, name you should say, Hoil Vishtani Shtani. Once his status changed, which is the judgment's different, the death is different, so then therefore his penalty should change and he should not get executed. So the Gemara, no. As we said, Dino Yumisasabin. Reb Chanina says, his judgment has to change and his death penalty has to change. Vahai, in this case, Dino Yishtani. Only his judgment changes, which is now you need witnesses, now you need Hasra, you need all these things, but Misasil Yishtani. But his death penalty did not change because as a murderer, both as a non-Jew and as a Jew, the death penalty is the same, which is of Saif, of being beheaded. So the Gemara asks, wait, Bishlam Ritzach, that's only good according in the case of the murdering a Jew. Meikar Saif, Hashta Saif, where originally it was by the sword, and now it's also by the sword. Ela'eshes is, but regarding having relations with a Jewish person's wife, Meikar Saif, Hashta Chenek, originally, as a non-Jew, where all his punishments are by the sword, now it changed. Now, not only does he have Nishtan Adina, it's also Nishtan Misasik, because it originally was Saif, and now it's going to be Chenek. A married woman, if one has relations with Eshes Ish, it's with Chenek. So therefore, Reb Chanin's halacha should apply, and he should be exempt. Why does the Braisa say that he's chayiv? Says the Gemara, it's not difficult. Benar hama rasa. When we're talking about a Jewish man's wife, we're talking about that she's a girl that's a naira that's engaged to him. The idvid biskila, where then, yes, both as a non-Jew and as a Jew, the punishment would be the same, and if it's not ishtan misasi, it would be with skila. Because if he would not convert, his judgment would still be with skila, as we said earlier on the Fnanzayin Mid'alf, that if a man has relations with a Jewish woman, where if that halacha is not prohibited for ben noyach, so then actually he gets judged by the Jewish law, which the mother explained is talking about a case of Naya Marasa, where in non-Jewish law they don't have that status. If it's not married, they don't have the halacha of prohibited arayis when there's just an engagement. And therefore we judge them based on our laws, and therefore since that's not changing, that's why is the he'll be chayiv misa, even though he was megayir, because it was only nishtan adina, not nishtan misasi. But ask the Gemara, how can you say that? How can you say it's to my case of Naim Arasa, but Ba'asa came be Yisrael? But we said we were paralleling. We were saying that if he does it to a non-Jewish woman or a non-Jewish man, and then we said, and Ba'asa came be Yisrael, and if he does this to a Jewish situation, which Dumi De'eshas Chaver Ketani, which is similar and paralleling the case of when he does it to a married woman of a fellow non-Jew. In other words, obviously we're talking about a case of when we're talking about a Jewish woman who already had relations with her husband, because regarding the case of Eshes Chaveri, meaning regarding a non-Jewish wife, there we said they don't have the halachas of Naim Arasa to be have any liability whatsoever. As we said, they only have Bu'ul Azbal, a woman that had relations, but they don't have Naim Arasa. And we're saying, if he did it to a non-Jewish woman, then he's patur when he was Megayir. If he does it to a Jewish woman, then he's going to be Chayim. Obviously the case is talking about a married woman that had relations already, and not a Naim Arasa. So how could you say, to answer the question, that's talking about Naim Arasa? So El Rather says the Gemara, you're right, we're talking about an Eshes Ish, a married woman. Then the question was, according to Reb Chanina, then why is this convert Chayiv, but it's Nishtan Nidinei and Misasai? So on that the Gemara says, no, that actually there is no change of death, because Kala B'chamur Meshach Shaycha, a more lenient death is inclusive in the more severe death. In other words, that since originally, initially, as a non-Jew, he was chayav a misa of sayif, which is more severe, now actually, as a Jew, having relations with a Jewish married woman, his death penalty is chenek, like any situation where one has adultery with a Jewish married woman, which is a lighter death penalty than sayif. So that is already was inclusive and was definitely more appropriate for that to be applicable, which from originally what it was. Meaning, as a non-Jew, he was going to get sayif, which is more severe. For sure, that like includes chenek. So therefore, it was not nishtan misasa either, because chenek is already was included in his sayif. In contrast, by the halacha of Reb Chanina, of birchas Hashem, of curse, blaspheming against God, originally the punishment was sayif, which is lighter, because actually as a Jew, he gets the most severe death penalty of skila. And there, that was not included. So therefore, that would be in Shtani Dina and Shtani Misasa, and therefore, Pchanin says he's actually going to be potter. Now, the Gemara, however, asks on this and says, Hanichal Rabbanan, but this answer is only applicable according to Rabbanan, the Ami Saif Chamer, that they say that, yes, Saif is more severe than Chenek. El Reb Shimon, but according to Reb Shimon, which he explained in the previous parak, Dama Chenek Chamer, he learns that actually strangulation is more severe death penalty than Saif. So Michael Emer. So what are you going to say? Now you have Nishtana Misasa, because this more severe death penalty of Chenek was not included in his original death penalty of Saif. So according to Reb Chanina, it's Nishtani Din, Nishtana Misasa. It should not be Chayev, but the Bryce says Chayev, and according to Reb Chanina, it should be Potter. Says the Gemara, Reb Shimon Sabal Ketan de Be Menashe. It still would not be difficult on Reb Chanina. Because Reb Shimon would hold like the Tana of the Yeshiva of Menashe. The Amma that he says, Kol Misa Amur L'Bnei Noach, that actually all the generic death penalties, which are unilateral by the Bnei Noach, Eine Ele Chenek, actually is Chenek, not Saif. So therefore, it's actually not Nishtana Misasa, because originally all his death penalties, for whatever sin he did, would be Chenek. And now, for the married woman, would also be, as a Jew, Chenek anyway. So it's not Nishtana Misasa, and therefore you're going to be Chayiv. Because you don't have the criteria of Reb Chanina's Halacha, Vishtani Dini, and Nishtana Misasa. But then the Gemara is now in the reverse. Well, then Bishlam Eish Asish, so that, okay, that resolves it regarding the halacha of having relations with a Jewish married woman. We make kara chenek v'hashta chenek. As a non-Jew, always it's chenek. And now, regarding as a Jew, it would also be chenek. El Ritzach, but the case of murder, when he murdered a Jewish man, make kara chenek v'hashta sayev, originally, was chenek. Because you're saying, and according to the Tanna ben Menashe, all his death penalties are chenek. But now, as a Jew who murders, he would get sayev. So it is ishtana misasa, so actually he should be potter. Says the Gemara, no, similar like we answered before, Kala, the more lenient death penalty, which is according to Reb Shimon Saif, as we said before, Bechamurin, the more severe one, which we're saying he also Tanu Menashe, that originally as a non-Jew everything would get chenek, Meshech Shaykh is applicable. So therefore, since originally as a non-Jew he was liable for the more severe death penalty, which he holds, is chenek, and now actually it's a lower death penalty of Saif, that was already included in what he was liable as a non-Jew, and therefore that's not considered Nishtana. And that's why you're going to be chayev, because it wasn't ishtani misasi. Says the Gemara, lemi misayeli. Let's say that we have a b'raisa that supports Reb Chanina, that actually that we would judge an individual based on what he is right now. Meaning we would not give the original. And since it changes, so therefore, in our cases, we change to, let's say, skila, like we're in the halacha of Reb Chanina, mevarach Hashem. So you can't punish him with skila because he didn't do it. Because we judge him based on what he is right now. If we judge based on what was, okay, he did that as a non-Jew, we give him that punishment, even with Megayer. But let's support Reb Chanina's position that, no, we go based on what is right now. And since he can't give him what he has right now, therefore he's going to be Potter. How so? Because the Braisa says as follows, it says, Sarcha, that if a Naira Marasa, when she's a Naira, which again, we said if she's engaged at that point in time, then there's the punishment of Skila for adultery. And then, Va'acha Kach Bagra, and then, afterwards, that when she was having her court case, she already turned over the age of 12 and a half, which now she's a begeris. Says the Braisa, Satidin Mechanic. So now, we can't execute her anymore based on Skila. We're going to judge her for the age that she's right now, had she had Znus right now, which is Chanek, which is for anyone over, the Skila is only applicable for Namarosa between, let's say, age of 12 and 12 and a half. Now that she's already, for the court case dragged out, she's already 12 and three quarters, she's going to get judged with Chanek. Says the Gemara, Beskila my time alai. Well, why wouldn't she get judged with Skila? Well, that's what she when she committed the crime. La Mishum isn't because like Reb Chanina, the Hoyle of Ishtani, that since her body changed, Ishtani, so her death penalty changed too. Now, although in this situation she's not gonna be totally exempt, because yes, the more lenient death penalty that she's applicable for now, which is Chenek, is included in the more severe death penalty that she had before of Skila, but
one thing that we see is that it does change. So v'koshkin hocha d'shtan legamri, for sure in our case of Reb Chanina, where everything changed, both the judgment and the death penalty. And since, as we said before, the one who is Mevarech as Hashem was never liable for that death penalty of Skila, because as a non-Jew, he wasn't chayiv for Skila, he was chayiv either, let's say, Chenek or Saif, so then he should be totally exempt, which seems to support Reb Chanina's assumption. Says the Gemara, no, ha'amalei Reb Yechon Latan, Reb Yechon taught the one who taught this, Braisa, Tenei Tidin B'Skila. Actually, you should read that it's not Tidin B'Chenek. Even though she became a Begeris, she does get her original death penalty when she committed the crime of Skila, even though her body changed, still her death penalty does not change. So therefore, you would say the same thing regarding Reb Chanina's halacha, regarding a Ben Noach, there was a Mevarech as Hashem, would get judged according to the original penalty, which would get the lighter death penalty which they committed, whether it be Chenek or Saif, which would not support Reb Chanina. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah that talks about the precept that this whole halacha, this whole parasha of Ben Tzera and Meir is built on. Ben Tzera and Meir, the wayward and rebellious son, needs an Al Shem Saif, is judged based on what the inevitable end is going to be. So therefore says, the Torah Yom Ezakai Val Yom Ezchayiv, let him die meritorious when he didn't do all those sins, instead of dying liable. Shem Yisasin Shereshom Hanolim, because actually the death of wicked people is actually appropriate for them, because now they're not going to sin anymore. And Vanolo Ilm, it's also good for the world, because now the world is calm. Litzadikim, however, the death for the righteous, Ralahen, is bad for them, because they would have gotten more merits. And Varalo Ilm, it's also bad for the world, because they protect their generation, and they also rebuke the generations to do the right thing. Similar types of concepts, Yain Vishin L'Rishom, wine and sleep for the wicked, Hanolahen Vanolo Ilm, is good for them, good for the world, because as long as they're drinking and sleeping, they don't sin, and they don't harm people. Whereas Ulitzadikim, but for the righteous, Ralahen, it's bad for them, because now they're not toiling in Torah. And for Ralo Ilm, it's also bad for the world, because their Torah that they toil in protects the generation. And when they're not learning, then punishments come to the world. Pizer, when there's this separation with Lirisham from wicked people, where now they cannot join together in their wicked counsel and to help each other in all their plots, Hanol lehem, Hanol la'ilam, is good for them, and it's good for the world. Tzadikim, but when tzadikim are separated, ra'lehem, ra'lehem, it's bad for them that they can't work together, and it's bad for the world. Kinas l'rishon, when you have wicked people that gather together, ra'lehem, ra'lehem, it's bad for them and bad for the world. Well, the tzadikim, and for the righteous, when they're gathered together, Hanol lehem, Hanol la'ilam, it's good for them, it's good for the world. And sheket l'rishon, when it is peace and tranquility for the wicked, ra'lehem, ra'lehem, they have times on their hand, they do bad things for themselves and bad for the world. The tzaddikim, when they have tranquility, hanol lehem, hanol la'ilam, it's good for them, and it's good for the world.